We're doing Rabbeinu Yonah and Pirkei Avot, and we had learned the Mishnah where Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's disciples each said three things. Rabbi Eliezer, which is Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, had taught that one's friend's honor should be as cherished as one's own honor, and a person shouldn't anger easily. We discussed last week, Rabbeinu Yonah pointed out that Rabbi Eliezer did not say, do not anger, but rather he said, do not anger easily, because sometimes a person has to anger. And then he said a person should repent a day before he passes. And then he concluded with a word of advice. He said, get close to the teachers as though they were coal from whom you can benefit the warmth of the coal. But be careful not to get burnt. And on that, Rabbeinu Yonah comments, Ve'evei mitchamim kenegduran shel talmidei chachamim, and warm yourselves next to the fire of the sages, keneged velo karov. The wording is stand opposite the fire, not too close. Ve'vezahir begachaltan shema tichave, be careful with the coal not to get burnt. Mashal lemitchamim keneged ha'ur. He's comparing the sages to one who's warming himself next to a fire. Imamad mimenu berachuk karoui lo, nimtza nehne ve'no nichve. If he only maintains the proper distance, he will benefit and not get burnt. V'im karav yoter midai, nimtza nichve. And if he gets too close, he can get burnt. Kacha mitchamem keneguduran shel chachamim, v'nehne mechochmatam. The same is true when one benefits and warms himself by the fire of the sages, he can benefit from their wisdom. V'tzarich la'amod lifnehem mitochima v'ira. But in order to really benefit, a person has to stand with awe, with respect, v'kovid rosh, and seriousness, v'alina kalut rosh bifnehem. And he should not behave in a jovial, light-headed manner before them. V'adikrav lehem yoter mima she'ekrivu. And he has to maintain the distance that they defined for him. Shemida zo merachakto umchayvto onesh gadol. Because a person has to maintain the distance that was defined for them, because otherwise the transgression or the punishment is severe. Then tzrich lomar b'zman shenichshalin b'dvar avera, and even more so when a person is going to transgress, so he shouldn't do it in the presence of his rebbe. A person has to be careful, and this is something that's very hard to know the distance to maintain and how to maintain the distance. There's a balance in the relationship, and the reason this mission is so important is because usually, when a person is learned in Torah, so they don't make a big deal about themselves. Now, the Chafetz Chaim did not have a big fedora hat. The Chafetz Chaim wore a simple casket. That was his hat. A little hat, you know, like taxi drivers have. If you see a real picture of the Chafetz Chaim, you see how he was dressed. He lived in a simple house. There's a famous story about a guy who came to... the story of the Chazon Ish. Everyone in town heard the Chazon Ish was coming to Bnei Brak. And the Chazon Ish came to Shul. He was a short man. He had thick glasses. And when he would study Gemara, sometimes he'd take off the glasses and hold the Gemara up to his nose so that he could see the Gemara well. So the story goes, he comes to town, and everyone heard the Chazon Ish is coming. No one knew what he looked like. So he walked into the shul, and he sat down and took a Gemara, took off his glasses, and started looking close to the Gemara. He's learning for about an hour, and the Gabbai walks in, and the Gabbai says, welcome, stranger. We're about to start a Daf Yomi Shir, and we have exactly the right amount of Gemaros for the people in the Shir, and you're holding one of them. So I need you to give me the Gemara, and anyways... He saw how close he was looking to Gemara, so he thought he must not know too much. So he said, a regular balabas like you, a regular man like you, should be reading Tehillim, not a Gemara. So he sent him to the back of the room and told him, here are the Tehillim, and took the Gemara from him. Chazon Ish didn't say a word. He went to the back, took a Tehillim off the shelf, and sat there reading Tehillim while they learned Gemara. The next day was a Monday, so... The Gabbai didn't mean anything badly. He was speaking simply to the Chazon Ish. So the next day, he sees this man standing in the back of the shul. He walks over to him. He says, you're new to town. What's your name? So he tells him, Avram Yeshayo, and the guy turned white. Suddenly he realized, okay, that's what I was talking to. So after davening, he came and he begged forgiveness. And the Chazon Ish said, you were right on both fronts. He said, first of all, you were right that you guys have first rights to the Gemara. They were purchased for your shear, so then you do have first rights to the Gemara. And secondly, a guy like me should really be reading Tehillim too. It's, you were right on everything you said.
Because he looked at it with such a good eye. As you know, you could be looked at by a past. You know, you would never do that. Go up to someone and say, someone in your level should be reading this stuff anyway. Even if he has the Gemara backwards.
Okay. But I'm saying that the humility is such that a person can very often make mistakes. There's a story about a Rebbe who was there early in shul, and he figured he'd work up the fire so that when the other people come to pray, the shul would be warmer. And he was leaning into the fire, and the gabbai walked in and didn't realize who it was, saw someone bent over, and decided it's a nice idea to give him a little smack on the behind. And the Rebbe kept his head in the fire, burnt off his beard, but didn't turn around because he didn't want to embarrass the gabbai. The gabbai thought it must be someone, you know, he's... there are many stories like this, and saying...
The finger in the car,
and saying there are a lot of stories. The point is that the Mishnah puts the responsibility on us, because the Talmud Chacham doesn't come and say, hey, that's not respectful, you shouldn't talk to me that way. It's well known that many rabbis were called by their first name, and people said a lot of disrespectful things to them, and they answered them simply. They didn't say, hey, that's not right. So the Mishnah warns us that even though the teacher might not demand it, our responsibility is to be careful, even though we might be benefiting and getting close, to maintain the distance and the respect that we have to. Yes?
I understand the point that it's that the Perek is trying to explain that it's not wise to, or proper even, to come to be too chill, or lack of a better way to explain, with the rabbanim or your teachers or the sages, because of all the reasons that was explained. However, I don't understand how that lesson is akin to being quote unquote burnt by coals.
Huh? So let's see. Shen shichatan neshichat nachash v'akitzatan akitzat akrab. The Mishnah continues and says, their bite is like the bite of a snake. Their sting is like the sting of a scorpion. You might think, I can seduce him the way we can charm a snake, and it doesn't bite. It's not so. Their bite is like the bite of a snake that cannot be charmed. Their hiss is the hiss of a serpent, ashalo yishma lekol melachashim, a serpent that doesn't listen to those who try to charm him. V'chol divrayim kegach leyesh, and be careful, their words are like burning coals. Shelo tachlok al divrayim, don't disagree with them, v'lomar gam yesh bi chokhma eseh svarot kamo. I've learned, I have intellect, I can figure things out. So he says this way, I'll say that way. V'en chokhma biyadcha, ufen techtan svaratcha. And a person doesn't really have that wisdom. One of the great weaknesses we have is that we learn a line in Torah and we feel like we've learned a page. We learn a page, we feel like we've learned a book. We learned a book, we feel like we've learned the Shas. There's a certain connection that develops between man and his Torah that's misleading. You don't begin learning physics and think you understood all of physics. You don't begin learning math and think you understood all of math. But you do begin learning Torah and think you understand all of Torah. In Torah, it doesn't work that way. In Torah, we feel such a connection that we very often overlook the gaps in our knowledge. And so the Mishnah warns us that a person will sometimes say, I can figure that one out. And he'll give a reasoning, and he'll give a ruling, and he'll give an opinion. But a person might not realize how smart and how sharp and how thought out what they said is, because there's a lot of wisdom burning in them. And these are things that at first glance we don't notice. It's only after you study and you study again and you learn from a closer perspective that you gain an appreciation. I remember as a kid, I'd always wonder why were they always so medayek in Rashi? Did Rashi really mean everything they thought Rashi meant? Yeah, so Rashi used this word instead of that word. How do you know Rashi meant to point out this point instead of that point? Until I started reading letters from Rashi and Maimonides, and I saw that when they answered the questions people asked on them, they said to the people, "Didn't you read what I wrote? Didn't you notice I chose this word instead of that word? If I meant that, I would have said it that way. And if I wrote it this way, then you have to think, why did I word it this way? Because I meant that way." And only after I started seeing the letters where they referenced their own works, and they said I was very careful with every word I chose, then I started seeing, hey, this is real genius. They're actually articulating with an exactness that we're unaccustomed to, exactly what the halacha is, exactly what the pshat in the Gemara is. So at first glance, when a person goes to learn, I remember when I went to Rabbi Feinstein. So the first few weeks I was in his class, I said, he's just reading the Gemara. I don't know why everyone, what's so great about this class. So I spent a week, I spent 2 weeks, I spent 3 weeks. After 3 weeks, I gave up. I left the yeshiva. I went to another yeshiva. I started learning there. And when I went to the other yeshiva, everyone asked me, where were you before you came here? I said, I was about Rabbi Feinstein's yeshiva. And everyone said, wow, he's such a genius. So I didn't say anything, but I kept thinking, come on, I was in his class. What do they mean he's such a genius? And after a few weeks of hearing from everyone around me, he's such a genius, he knows so much Torah, I finally decided, hey, maybe I missed something. I went back and I prepared for 3 days for the next class, prepared with a ton of sources, and walked into class with about 30 questions ready on the page he was going to teach. And then he starts reading the Gemara. And as he's reading it, he translates this word that way and that word this way. And he adds nuances to the Gemara as he's reading them, nuances you wouldn't notice if you hadn't prepared for 3 days. And suddenly, as I'm sitting there, 80 to 90% of my questions he's answered in the way he reads the Gemara. He answered the questions from Rishonim, answered the questions from Halacha. So the first time I came in, I wasn't prepared. I just came in and listened. I figured he'd tell me what he's teaching me. No, he just read it. If you prepared really well, you started seeing he's answering a lot of things in the way he reads the Gemara and Rashi and Tosfos. The Mishnah says, get close, warm by them, but be careful, know the limits of their relationship, because if you get too close, if you assume that you're equals, if you assume that you're buddy-buddy, if you allow yourself to joke around and be lightheaded with them, you should know that in the end you get burned from that. That's not the way it should be.
What exactly is the burn? Because I understand that maybe you might miss. Like you said, if you're too close, you might miss what they're trying to give over. But I don't understand how their words are like a snake or like the sting of a scorpion or burn like a cold.
I could tell you, but Rabbeinu Yonah didn't address that. Rabbeinu Yonah didn't address it. That would be other Rishonim that address it.
Could you briefly summarize what other Rishonim would say?
Let's move forward for a drop. Let's finish Rabbeinu Yonah and then we could get back to that. Yes?
With this example you just gave, like Feinstein or like other like Torah giants, when you speak of like these nuances and things, do you think this like reveals like inner Torah that you wouldn't have been able to understand without them? Or does this like personalize the Torah to them in their interpretation? Or are these not conflicting ideas?
That has to be discussed on a Thursday night. It's a v'zeh adavar inom min ha-shlosha shemana Rabbi Eliezer. This isn't one of the three things Rabbi Eliezer taught. We said he's going to teach us three things. He taught us three, and then he ends with this comment. Ki lo haya omer b'chol yom. This isn't the comment he would say each day. The first three things where he'd say, don't be easy to anger, honor your friend as your own, and make sure to do tshuva a day before you die. Those were things he'd say every day. But this is an idea that a person has to think about once, and it lasts for a long time. Once a person decides, he's going to honor his teachers. This isn't something a person has to be reminded of every day. The first three things, to honor your friend like yourself, you have to remind yourself every day. Not to anger easily, you have to remind yourself every day. To do tshuva every day, that you have to remind yourself every day. But the relationship of having respect for one's teacher, that's something that you don't have to remind yourself every day. You get it. So that's why he concludes with this piece of advice, that this isn't one of the three things that Rabbi Eliezer would say every day.